VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the Internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, an important decision parents make regards the education of their children. Today our focus is on the topic of homeschooling, and certainly there's so much to learn about homeschooling, and there are significant changes that take place in a family that goes down this path. One aspect many homeschooling families come to realize is that not all are going to be supportive of their decisions. Some believe that children will be ruined if they are homeschooled. Well, if you've had questions about homeschooling, today's programming will be of help to you. We welcome back to Crosstalk Israel Wayne. He's an author and conference speaker who has a passion for defending the Christian faith and promoting a biblical worldview. He's also a homeschool expert who is not only a homeschool graduate himself, but also a homeschool dad. He's been with us previous, discussing his books such as Questions God Asks, Questions Jesus Asks, Pitching a Fit, Overcoming Angry and Stressed Out Parenting, and Education, Does God Have an Opinion? He's with us today discussing his latest book, Answers for Homeschooling, Top 25 Questions Critics Ask. And Israel, nice to have you back with us here on Crosstalk. We've lost Israel, so we will try and reconnect with him. Here today on the program, Israel's been having some phone trouble as we've been seeking to get connected with him here today. So we'll try and renew that connection. Meanwhile, folks, we would certainly encourage prayer for this nation. Be praying for this nation as tensions are heightening with Syria right now. And we know that it's an issue in which there's a grave concern as to will we go to war. Russia and others are suggesting this will be World War III if it comes about. So be praying for this nation as that issue is going on, as well as the announcement today that Paul Ryan is not going to be running for re-election. Okay, we're good to go. And let's try him again. Israel, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. I think this should work better.
Well, thank you. And so we were talking about homeschooling. You've already been introduced. Israel, you're not exactly the new kid on the block when it comes to homeschooling, but it's been in your blood for decades. If you would just give us a brief history of your background as it relates to homeschooling.
Yes, well, my mother started homeschooling my older sister and myself in 1978, which was about 5 years before the modern-day Christian homeschooling movement started. And one of the things that was a bit different back then in those days was that in most states homeschooling was actually illegal. So we had a very different kind of scenario in those days. Homeschooling before, not only was it not a popular choice, but really was a very difficult choice. We couldn't find curriculum publishers that would sell curriculum to us, had to do it very secretly and covertly, kind of underground. And it certainly has changed a lot to where, you know, now there's about 2.5 million students being homeschooled. So a lot friendlier landscape today.
Okay. And what many seem to forget is that homeschooling, and you point out in your book, it's really the oldest form of education, well predates any schooling that's been set up by the government, commonly referred to as public education.
Yeah. You know, people think of homeschooling as being this new experimental method that is somewhat untried and untested. And so people are a little bit nervous about it. But really, when you think about 6,000 years of human history, it really is the government education model of taking, you know, children and putting them in classrooms of 30 to 40 students all the same age and having them in education. That's the new kid on the block. And in Western culture, that's only a couple hundred years old. And within America, we didn't have really anybody practicing that until just about the time of the Civil War, and it wasn't until about 1900 that every state had adopted that method. So really, that's kind of the new experimental model. Home education has been what people have always done.
Mm-hmm. When did the modern homeschool movement take off?
Yeah, that was 1983. Because families like ours ended up in court for violating the compulsory attendance laws, truancy officers would show up and say, you know, you're in violation of compulsory attendance laws. And so we were taken to court, our family and many others. Groups like the Homeschool Legal Defense Association and I think about 26 different state organizations started in 1983. and began to defend the legal rights of families. And fortunately, we had some legal precedent from the court battles in the 1960s and 70s that churches had fought to be able to establish Christian schools. And so homeschoolers were able to use some of the legal precedent in battles that had been won by the Christian school movement. And there was curriculum that had been developed for the Christian school movement, so eventually we were able to access that as well.
So with modern homeschooling being approaching now four decades, do you fear for the future of homeschooling, or do you feel it's so well established that you have no concern?
Well, I do have concern, but it's not necessarily what some people think. You know, a lot of people think, well, maybe there will be some kind of national federal power grab where they'll try to make homeschooling illegal or something like that. I don't think that's really our biggest risk. I think our biggest risk, and what I see happening across the country, is homeschoolers who are putting themselves under governmental control and regulation of their homeschooling voluntarily. And they do that because the government offers them certain freebies and certain perks, if you will, if they will give up their control of the content of the education in exchange for some free government handouts. And so I think the greater risk to the homeschooling movement is not so much that we have our freedoms taken away by force, but that we just simply relinquish them and give them up voluntarily in exchange for a few handouts.
Well, you address in your book a number of questions about homeschooling, and some come from critics and others kind of come from internally, parents themselves. And one question parents wrestle with is the question, am I qualified to teach my children? And critics will also hurl that as a criticism, saying, parents, you're not qualified to teach. Address that issue if you would.
Sure. Well, one of the things that you'll hear if you talk to any teacher in an institutional school and you ask them what makes for a good learning environment is they'll usually tell you a low student-to-teacher ratio, and they'll usually say a teacher who cares, right? And so those are two things you'll usually hear from school teachers about what makes for a good teaching and learning dynamic. And I would propose that in a homeschooling environment, you have a really good student-teacher ratio, but you also have, at least in almost every situation, you have parents who really care about their children. I mean, who loves and cares for children more than their parents in most functional, normal families? And so the two main components that make for good teachers, I think you find in the homeschooling environment, and the research that's been done seems to indicate that if you have those components in place, homeschooling parents tend to do better than the students do better than those in academic institutions, simply because, you know, they have the advantage of having a curriculum customized around the child rather than the child force fit to the curriculum and so forth.
Israel Wayne is our guest today. He's author of the book Answers for Homeschooling, Top 25 Questions Critics Ask. Some probably wonder how they can afford all the books, the materials, the curriculum. What about the financial cost of homeschooling?
Yeah. Well, what I like to point out is what about the financial cost of government schooling? I think on the national average now, we're up to about $12,500 per year per child to have them schooled in a government school classroom. That's pretty expensive, $12,500 a year per child. On the contrary, homeschooling families spend on average about $660 per child per year. So literally just a fraction of that cost. And unfortunately, for the traditional government-run schools, they don't perform as well academically as the homeschooling students do on $660 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So the cost of home education is really not that high, especially not when you compare it to the cost of government education.
But if I go to government education, I don't pay anything. All the taxes take care of that. Here I'm going to have to outlay money.
Right. And, you know, that certainly is something that concerns a lot of homeschoolers. The issue is, though, with payment, you know, and whoever funds this education comes the ability to control the education. And so if you want to be able to teach your children your religious values, for example, you can't do that with tax dollars. And so it really becomes a bit of a trade-off. What do you want more? You know, do you want your child to have a free humanist, anti-Christian education? Or if you want your child to have a Christian education, and the great thing about private education is that if you're paying entirely for the education yourself, you get to dictate what gets taught.
One aspect you address in your book also is different educational approaches to homeschooling. And some think that homeschooling is a one-size-fits-all, but there are some varied educational approaches. Tell us about them.
Right. Well, there are a lot of different approaches. There's sort of the traditional textbook approach that many people would be familiar with from their own schooling experience. But there are lots of other ones that I won't specifically name here. But the great thing is that, you know, you have a teaching style, the student has a learning style, and you can learn to identify what your teaching style is, what your student's learning style is, and you can create an academic approach that fits the way that your individual student learns the best. And so you can mix and match a curriculum, you can customize and create something that's form-fitted to that individual student and give them the best possible academic opportunities at home. And you really can't do that in an institutional school. The school is made for the average. It's made for the bell curve. And so the individual customized attention you get in home education is really one of the great advantages of it.
One concern, Israel, that many have is whether or not they're doing enough academically for their children. Can they motivate their children enough academically? What words of advice do you have? Is there a way to measure if a child is where they're supposed to be at academically, or those who wonder if they're doing what they need to do academically for their child?
Right. Well, there's two things with that. I mean, first of all, there are standardized tests that are available for all homeschooling families. So if you want to have your child standardized tested to find out if they're on grade average and so forth, that certainly is available to you as a homeschooler. I think another consideration, though, if you step back for a minute, is to consider that not every student is the same, and nor should we want them to be the same. There are students who happen to be more advanced in one subject and less advanced in another. I have, for example, students who may be above grade level in math and maybe behind grade level in language arts simply because that's just their personality and that's their stage in development academically. Home education gives you the options to be able to focus on the strengths and the weaknesses of the child, again, instead of force-fitting them to an institutional approach. One more thing I'd say on that, though, is that if you want a child to continue to learn, they have to be motivated to want to learn. And so the question is, what is going to be the best environment to keep them motivated to want to learn? And I think the home education environment is one that helps to keep that love of learning alive, rather than what happens often in the traditional schools where students just become defeated and give up. Not every student, but certainly ones who struggle often do. And I think that you minimize that in a home education environment.
You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America. Israel Wayne is our guest today. He is an author and conference speaker. He has a passion for defending the Christian faith and promoting a biblical worldview. A home education expert who is not only a homeschooled graduate himself at a time when it was not part of the modern homeschool movement, but now also is a homeschool dad. And we're discussing his book today, Answers for Homeschooling, Top 25 Questions Critics Ask. We're going to be delving into some more issues after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did the animals that we see fossilized today live millions and millions of years ago?
Chris, according to evolution, they did, but I question that. First, note that most of the fossils are nearly identical to modern-day organisms. There are clams in the fossil record, and there are clams today. Maybe a little bit different, but still clams. Theologically, if the fossils died long ago, then what does that do to the biblical teaching that things were very good in the beginning? Did things die and experience pain before man, before God called things very good? No, in the beginning there was no death. It was Adam's sin which brought the wages of sin, which is death. If death existed before sin, then death is not the penalty for sin, and Christ's death paid no penalty. Chris, recent creation is absolutely essential, even to the salvation doctrine. As we go back to Genesis, we can get it right.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
Answers for Homeschooling, our topic today. Israel Wayne is our guest. He is author of the book, Answers for Homeschooling, Top 25 Questions Critics Ask. A little bit later in the program, we'll be opening phone lines and give you opportunity to ask questions. And we would advise you to get your questions prepared when we open the lines that you're ready to go and call. And we'll seek to get as many calls in as possible to address issues perhaps that we're not even bringing up on the program today. But there's criticisms that are hurled toward the homeschool family. And Israel, as you know, one of those concerns is over the topic of socialization. And there's a criticism often leveled at homeschoolers is that, public school or private school will help children know how to relate to one another, but homeschool stifles socialization. How do you respond to that?
Well, that certainly is an accusation that I've lived with my whole life, you know, having grown up being home educated. And there's just so many angles and so many facets to that. I think one of the things that people say as well, I met a homeschooling family and they had a child who was socially awkward and this is the fault of homeschooling. Well, the fact is I was homeschooled, but I've met a lot of public school students who are socially awkward. And I don't know that it was the fault of public school or their parents or anything else. I think some people just struggle with social interaction. And I think you're going to find that no matter what kind of a schooling environment they're in, some people are more extroverted, some people are more introverted, and oftentimes their ability to communicate like to others is tied into their personality. I mean, I was homeschooled, but I was very extroverted, so I never...
Hello, Israel. Okay. Looks like we're still having some continued troubles here on the phone lines with Israel Wayne, and certainly unusual problems that we're having today with the broadcast. Let me just mention this as we're seeking to reconnect with Israel. The book Answers for Homeschooling, Top 25 Questions Critics Ask. We are offering the book through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $14 or more. That's $14 or more. And if you'd like to receive a copy of the book, it's available simply through our website at vcyamerica.org or by calling our switchboard at 800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829. And though we're having technical problems here, I've looked through the book. There's no technical problems with the book. And we would encourage you to contact us to obtain a copy, Answers for Homeschooling. Israel, I believe we have you back with us again.
Yeah, so on the socialization question, I was just saying, I was homeschooled, but I was also very extroverted. And so I never had any problems with being able to connect well with other people. I made friends very easily, but I had a sister who was very introverted, and she had just more of a shy personality. And so I think that's a bit of a myth to some extent that homeschoolers are introverted and public schoolers are extroverted. I don't think there's any truth to that. But the other thing is, that there's been research that's been done on this topic. Dr. Brian Ray, who's the founder and president of the National Home Education Research Institute, did a study called Homeschooling Grows Up. And he did a survey of 7,000 homeschooled graduates and found that in all the different metrics that you would consider regarding social interaction as adults, whether that be people contributing positively to their communities, donating money to charitable causes, being involved in political campaigns, being a member of a local church, just all the things you would think of somebody being a good citizen, homeschoolers excelled and actually were more socially engaged than traditionally schooled counterparts. And so I think that that topic of socialization ties in with another question I deal with in the book as well, but it's the issue of will they be good citizens? I think that's part of the concern. There's this view that if you don't have your child in a classroom with 30, 40 students all the same age, they won't know how to relate to people in the real world. And this study indicated that homeschoolers are actually more socially involved and more positively socially engaged as adults than those in traditional school. So it really is a myth that homeschoolers aren't, as a people group, aren't as socially engaged.
Does homeschooling guarantee success?
Well, no. In fact, I don't think parenting guarantees success. I know a lot of great parents who have children who make decisions later in life that they wish they didn't. But I think the question is not so much one of outcome, although we do see statistically very positive and favorable outcomes to homeschooling on average, you know, with everything that you would consider, you know, the academics, the social aspect, the spiritual aspect, biblical worldview. Homeschoolers tend to, on average, do better than traditionally schooled counterparts. So there is really good fruit there. But I think the question is not so much a pragmatic one of what produces the best outcome, as much as that may be a motivator for us. I think the better question is, what do we find in Scripture as being prescriptive for how we should teach children? And what I see in Scripture is children are to be taught in the fear of the Lord, that they are to be undergirded with the knowledge of Christ as being the foundation for all knowledge and learning, and that parents are supposed to be the ones who are guiding and directing and leading that Christian education. And I think, you know, Ephesians 6:4, which fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word admonition there literally is the Greek word paideia, which means school or academy or education or learning. And so it's supposed to be not the paideia of the world, but the paideia of the Lord. And it's directed to parents, to fathers specifically, to be in charge of that paideia. So I think the bigger question is not so much, you know, is there a 100% success rate from homeschooling, as much as what does Scripture prescribe, and are we being faithful to walk out what Scripture outlines and gives guidelines for?
So we're looking at some of the issues that critics raise against homeschooling today, and some say, as you know, Israel, that homeschool just shelters children from the real world, that they'll be unprepared to cope with the world as it is. So I'd like you to address this. Can a parent overprotect their child? Is a homeschool student able to cope with the real world if they've been sheltered? I know that you've heard that before.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard that. Well, you know, I think there are what society now is calling helicopter parents. But actually, you know, we see a lot of these kinds of situations in traditional schools. I mean, I talked to friends of mine who are school teachers, you know, in traditional schools, and they complain about the sheltering helicopter parents in the schools who, you know, come down and swoop in, you know, to defend their child every time their child gets a C or a D. You know, they're there at the, you know, arguing with the teachers about it, and we have this whole group of young people that sociologists, you know, refer to as these young people who grow up entitled and that think that they can't really handle life. And most of these kids that are experiencing that, I mean, they went to traditional public schools. So can somebody be over sheltering or over protective? Well, I think, yeah, you can do that in any environment. I think to some extent it's natural and normal for us to shelter our children and protect our children from things that are genuinely harmful for them. I don't think that's abnormal. I think that's good parenting. The big question for me is not will my children be sheltered from, you know, every other idea or every other belief or worldview that's out there in the world. I expose my children to a broad range of thoughts and ideas of what people believe out in the world. I just don't teach them that all those beliefs are true. And so I think that's a big issue is, are we teaching our children that things that the Bible calls sin are, equal and valid to what the Bible encourages? Are we saying that, you know, anything you want to choose to embrace or believe as a philosophy or a lifestyle is acceptable? To me, that's the question. Are they being taught things that are false as though they're true? I think that's a big thing we have to wrestle with.
What is another argument that often comes toward homeschoolers is that if you remove your child from a school, you're pulling out the salt, you're pulling out the light. Are witnessing opportunities being lost if a family homeschools?
Yeah, I don't see any reason why homeschooling families have to stop evangelizing, or though homeschoolers are no longer part of their communities, they're no longer part of their neighborhoods. Supposedly they have no other involvement or interaction with the real world, besides a public school. I think that's a fallacy. I think homeschoolers are just as engaged, they're just as involved in their communities as anybody else. The question is, are children at a young age, are they really prepared and adequately equipped to be able to go into a school where there's a teacher who probably doesn't share their worldview, or at least isn't allowed to support it publicly, if they're a Christian. And then there's all these young people who, most of them are not going to enforce and encourage the Christian worldview. And so, the thing that I would like to say is, what study or what research has ever indicated that this salt and light theory is working. Because we've had 40 years of trying it, and what I see is every study indicates that it's not working. Whether that's Pew Research or the Barna Group or Nehemiah Institute or the Gen 2 survey or, you know, on and on and on, the Beamer Group study, any of these research firms just show that church youth are becoming less and less Christian with every decade, not that they're winning masses to Christ in public schools. And the scripture speaks to it in Proverbs 13 and also in 1 Corinthians 15, 33, and it tells us that he who walks with wise will become wise, but a companion of fools is destroyed. And then Paul says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. So we're actually warned against sending our children into that environment as missionaries. The scripture doesn't encourage us to do that. And the results are that we're actually having children become like the world rather than the world being converted to Christianity.
We'll talk about some of the mechanics of this as well. And one of those, you're a homeschool dad. What is dad's role in homeschooling?
Well, you know, every family's going to be a little bit different. I think in most families, you're going to have a situation, this is just statistically average, that in most homeschooling families, you have a single income family, the father works, the mother stays home and does most of the academic training. So even though there are lots of exceptions to that, that's the statistical model that we kind of have to work within to discuss what's average. And so for most families, I think the way I think of it anyway is that the dad can serve as kind of like a general contractor. If you think of it as a building analogy, a general contractor isn't necessarily doing all the labor on building a house, but he's very aware of what's going on at every phase. He's overseeing the different aspects of it. He's staying abreast of what needs to be changing and what needs to be improved and what are better tools that can be invested in. And so I see that as being something very doable for most fathers, that they continue to stay abreast of what's happening both emotionally, spiritually, and then academically with their children and work together as a team. The husband and wife working together in this parenting role, rather than looking at homeschooling as, oh, that's mom's job, that's what she does, and I just go to work and I bring home the money. I think scripture actually has more passages that encourage fathers to teach and train and instruct than even specific verses that encourage mothers to. And so it really is a team effort, and I always encourage dads to be as engaged as you possibly can in the home education process.
You referenced single-parent families. Is homeschooling out of reach for them?
Well, I was actually raised for much of my childhood and especially high school years by a single-parent mother. My mother homeschooled myself and my five sisters mostly as a single parent. And some people say, well, you know, not everybody can homeschool, and what about the single parent? My mother was kind of unique, I suppose, in the sense that not only was she a single parent, but she dropped out of school herself in ninth grade. So she didn't even have a high school education. And when she became a Christian when I was 12, she decided that we weren't going to be on any kind of government assistance ever again. She believed God would provide for us.
Tell you what, we're going to pick up with that after the break. This is Crosstalk on BCY America. We'll be right back. The Middle East has long been spiraling out of control, causing global uncertainty and fear. What does this turmoil mean for Israel, and why has peace been so elusive? In the book, Israel on High Alert, Bible teacher Ron Rhodes offers a clear view of the present situation and the future faced by Israel. The book explores the history of the Middle East conflict, what Scripture says about the ongoing battle, God's plan for Israel, and how the events in the Middle East affect us today. Touching on everything from Islam to the current efforts to rebuild the Jewish temple, this book will guide you through the past, present, and God-ordained future for Israel. You'll find assurance in knowing that even amid chaos, God's plan is already in action and will not fail. Israel on High Alert is available from VCY America as our way of saying thank you for your support of $16 or more. To obtain a copy, call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829. Ezra Wayne, our guest here today on Crosstalk. We're discussing his book, Answers for Homeschooling, Top 25 Questions Critics Ask. And yes, folks, there are responses in the book. We're making it available through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $14 or more. It's just a little shy of 200 pages, but it's available online through our site at vcyamerica.org. vcyamerica.org, or by calling our switchboard at 800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829. Israel, we were talking about the single-parent family, and you talked about your mother's determination not to live off from government assistance, but she was there providing the homeschool education for you.
Yeah, so here we were in an environment where she's a single-parent mother who dropped out of school in ninth grade. She has six children. She has decided to not receive government assistance. We had $100 a month in child support, and she's trying to give us a Christian home education in an environment where it's against the law. I mean, it was really up against a tremendous amount of obstacles, and yet she had a commitment after she became a Christian that her children needed a Christian education. And so she was tenaciously committed to that, and there wasn't another option for her. We spent 2 years in a private Christian school, but from her perspective, she was not okay having an anti-Christian education. She was committed to a Christian education.
Mm-hmm.
And what was amazing for me watching that growing up was that God provided. He provided financially, gave her the ability to be able to start a business, that she could support her family and still homeschool. And I think some of it really comes down to what is our commitment and to giving our children a Christian education, and then believing we'll make provision for that. If he's called us to it, he certainly won't call us to something and then not provide the means to enable us to do it.
Could you deal with the area of mental or physical fatigue of a parent so overwhelmed by homeschooling and preparing and doing the teaching while at the same time having to keep up house, prepare meals, get the shopping done, get to appointments, all the other tasks?
Sure. And that was another thing that I think my mom really struggled with, quite unrelated to homeschooling. She also had some health issues. I remember she had her first heart attack when she was 40 and, really struggled with a lot of health issues. My wife and I have been blessed as a two-parent family to be able to be a team, and we've had good health and all that. But it still is a struggle, right? It's a lot to keep up with. But I guess the thing that I wonder is at the end of my life, am I going to look back and think, I just wish I would have invested less in my children. I just wish that I would have had more me time and spent less time with my children. I just wish I would have put more emphasis on my career and less time investing in the biblical worldview training of my children. I don't think I'm going to think that. I think that I will never regret putting the Christian training of my children as a priority, and I'll be thankful for the fruit that that will be reaped in years later, years down the road as a result of that effort.
Israel Wayne, our guest today on Crosstalk. I've got more questions, but no doubt, listeners, you do as well. And if you'd like to get online, our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Taking your questions here, or perhaps a comment for our guest today, Israel Wayne, as we're talking about homeschooling. Answers for homeschooling, top 25 questions critics ask. Israel, some parents no doubt look at the varied ages of their children and they wonder, how can I possibly teach multiple grades all at the same time? Now, you can speak it from experience. I believe you have, is it nine children homeschooled?
Yes, we have nine children.
So address this issue. What can you share regarding this, teaching all these different ages, all different levels, all at the same time?
Well, actually, my wife and I talk about this in the book because there are certain subjects that are best taught to the group. And so you can take a topic, which we often do, say history, and we're studying a certain era of history, and we will teach that to the group, and we'll be studying like one era, like let's say the American Revolutionary War, and we're studying that time period, and we will give assignments or designated curriculum that is teaching on an age-appropriate level and based on their learning capacity, but we're all studying the same subject. So in about a week, we're going to take a trip out to Massachusetts. We're going to get to go see a lot of these sites that they've been reading about in Boston and the surrounding area. And that's going to help them to be able to put the pieces together. And so we try to just teach as a family as much as possible. And that's one way that it makes it a little bit easier.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Fred in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to ask if the homeschooling has anything to do with the charter schools through Khalid Sheikh Mohammed that are springing up all over America, teaching hidden Muslim stuff in it?
Well, one thing that you have to remember about charter schools is that charter schools are all government-funded. And so what's interesting is that by law, you're not supposed to have the teaching of religion in any charter school because it's funded by tax dollars. However, we have heard reports of certain charter schools that do teach Islamic teaching with tax dollars in charter schools. Obviously, there's some inconsistency because when someone attempts to teach Christianity with tax dollars, all of a sudden, you know, the ACLU gets involved and it becomes very messy. But we do hear reports that some of these charter schools are teaching sort of, you know, other worldviews and religions besides Christianity. And at least for a time, seem to be kind of getting away with it. But homeschooling, as we're advocating it, is funded entirely by the parents. And so the parents have the ability to teach whatever values and religious views their particular family holds.
Yeah, thank you, Fred. And I'd refer you to an interview we did with Shahram Hadian, a former Muslim, back in 2016 on the Islamic Gulen movement, part of the charter school movement there with Islam. But I think that may answer some of your questions there. Kathy is calling from Lindenhurst, Illinois. Kathy, you're on the air.
Yes, I was just wondering what I could do for my kids who are in high school. My husband does not agree with homeschooling. Is there something I could do at home besides my devotion?
Yeah, great question. Well, a couple of things. You know, the two most important factors in having influence in your child's life is time and affirmation. So typically, whoever spends the most time with them and whoever affirms them the most and encourages them the most will have the most influence. So that certainly is a big issue. But another thing I would add to that is the use of apologetic and biblical worldview training. So if you find an organization that has material that teaches your child how to defend Christian faith and how to think with a biblical worldview, specific curriculum designed for that, the Gen 2 survey showed that you could about double the likelihood of your students staying in the Christian faith than if they don't have that. So I would say find as much time as you possibly can to spend with your child and affirm and encourage them, and then make sure that they have systematic biblical worldview and Christian apologetics training to help them to be able to defend their faith.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. And let's go to Barb in Cambridge, Ohio. You're on the air, Barb.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Seven of my husband's nieces and nephews were homeschooled, and three of them went into the military, and all three are now policemen. One is an EMT. One is a registered nurse. The other one is a teacher at a Christian school. And the last one is married to a pastor, and they have a church in another state. And I had people, when these kids were being homeschooled, tell me, you know, how crippled they were going to be. And this is just an example of how crippled they're not. So I just wanted to say that, because this is a subject that just floors me. Because I think homeschool children excel over a lot of the kids I know that were in public school. And that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Barb. Response, sir, Israel.
Yeah, well, I've done a lot of research on the history of the founders of the government school system, and they were very elitist in their worldview. And they believed that parents could not possibly teach their children as well as government officials. And they were very vocal about that. And so the idea was, parents, if left to raise their own children, will destroy their children, and the children will grow up and they won't know how to relate to people in society. They won't be good citizens. And so that's why they need government officials to raise their children for them. And they were very vocal about that. And so a lot of people who grew up in a government school system kind of heard that sentiment being espoused. And then they grow up and they espouse that same sentiment themselves and they repeat those ideas. But really, it's just an elitist, progressivist, leftist, socialist worldview that isn't supported, certainly not supported by scripture, but not supported by any empirical evidence at all. Homeschoolers do great because they have the, you know, the people who know them the best and love them the most, involved in the upbringing and training of them when they're young. So I think what we're hearing from our caller is that's very typical of a homeschooling outcome.
We've had some lines open up. Our number here, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Leah is calling from Arizona. Hi, Lee. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. Good afternoon to you both. You know, all of our kids, the twins, they were homeschooled throughout high school. They graduated from the local university, and they've done very well in their class and very well just out of college. So we're thankful for that. And then our youngest will be a senior this upcoming year, and she does well too. And I didn't hear what the lady who's interested in schooling her high school children, you know what I say? I say that I know there's a traditional sense of homeschooling, and then there's also virtual programs where you're schooling from home. And sometimes you can see what they're learning. Opt out of things if you can. And then also, I just want to just offer that encouragement to her to say if she doesn't feel that she could teach the lessons or what have you, at least the kids were at home.
Well, and Lee, again, the situation was that she wanted to, but her husband was not being permissive of that.
Yeah.
And so, go ahead and respond. This is another area of Israel as a virtual school in the home. Thank you, Lee, for raising that issue here. And Israel, your response.
Well, there are two different kinds of virtual academies. When I was being homeschooled through high school, I did video curriculum through a company called Abeka and had a great academic education. So I was able to study high school subjects that my mom had never even taken in high school because she dropped out in ninth grade. And so I got a great academic education through video correspondence. And that was in the 1980s. And now there's a lot of online tutorials. There are co-ops. There's a lot of resources and advantages that we have today. But when you're looking at like a virtual academy, there are some that are privately funded, and then there are some that are government funded. Again, when you go to the government funded ones, you're not going to be able to teach your children a Christian worldview. You will be getting Common Core. You will be getting evolution. You will be getting all the LGBT curriculum. You're going to get all that in the virtual school at home. And so, you know, if those things are concerns for you, look for the ones that are privately funded, and specifically Christian in content. That would be my admonition and encouragement to you.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Israel Wayne is our guest, and we're going to come back to Lori and Sue and Sonia. So stay on the line. We'll be with you here momentarily. Again, Answers for Homeschooling. We're making the book available, our way of saying thank you for your support of $14 or more to Crosstalk. It's available by going online at vcyamerica.org or by calling our switchboard here at 800-729-9829. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewradio.com. Many of you are familiar with the term social justice. It's really another word for socialism. It was created originally by a Jesuit priest by the name of Luigi Tappernelli in 1840. And then along came Karl Marx in 1848 with the Communist Manifesto. Today, the term social justice, well, it has many different masking terms. The social gospel was used many years ago and still is today as a form of promoting social justice. So you have social justice, social gospel. Some call it reweaving a community. Tim Keller, very popular with today's neo-Calvinists and neo-evangelicals, doesn't want to call it redistribution of wealth. He calls it reweaving a community. Well, another term they're using, and you're going to start hearing this more and more, is human flourishing. That Christians should be concerned about human flourishing. And it's our responsibility to be involved in redistribution of wealth through the church so everyone can be involved in human flourishing.
Answers for Homeschooling, our topic today here on Crosstalk. Israel Wayne is our guest. The book is subtitled Top 25 Questions Critics Ask. And we're taking your calls today. Lori's been holding the longest from Michigan. Lori, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say that my siblings have all homeschooled their children, and my brother had six children. His one daughter went off to Bible school, and when she got done, she was so good in music, they called her back and asked her to come and teach music, college-level music, and it just goes on and on, and if I told you, you would be blown away. You know, here, my his son went and bought a house at a very young age and is fixing it all up. I mean, they have, they're educated, they're talented, they're gifted. My sister is homeschooling her last one, finishing up that one, but her oldest son is literally at a Bible school. He's mentoring all kinds of young men who work at the Bible school that didn't have proper families. They had no father or whatever in their life. And they're, I mean, just these kids, just what God's doing in their lives is just unbelievable. And the one son works out of a farm, and he goes out bright and early at 3 o'clock in the morning. He has to get up, and he works all these farms. And a farmer put his arm around this young man and said, look, he said to the family, you just don't find kids like this anywhere. Mm. And that's really what I'm seeing in these kids. And they're also homeschooling their own children now.
Thank you, Lori.
It's incredible.
Thank you, Lori, for sharing that today.
You're welcome.
Sue in Illinois, you're on the air.
Yes, I just had a question about children that have learning disabilities. How do you go about teaching them?
Yeah, there are several national organizations, and I reference them in the book, that specifically help homeschooling families that have either gifted students or students with learning disabilities. And so I honestly believe the best place for a child who is gifted or learning disabled is to be in a home environment where they're not being picked on, they're not being bullied, they can have a customized curriculum especially for them. They're with the people who know them the best and love them the most. I think homeschoolers do the best when they have those individual customizations that help them, because when I was growing up, I was ADHD and dyslexic, and homeschooling made a huge difference in me being able to actually learn in a classroom. I really struggled. So if you get the book, you'll be able to find links to organizations that specifically can help you with whatever issue you're dealing with.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sue. And Sonia in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I was just going to say that I had homeschooled my children for about 4 years, and then ended up stopping due to non-support from their father. But when my daughter had went into the high school, they had actually kind of rolled their eyes at me at the fact that, oh boy, she was homeschooled, now how are we going to teach this dumb child, per se? And she knocked their socks off of in 9th, 10th, 11th grade with a 4.0 that she held. And it wasn't until her senior year that it started kind of dropping, and she ended up graduating with a 2.6 only because of dealing with all the stuff that the school was throwing at her. So definitely, I would say homeschooling without a doubt is the way to go.
Hmm. Thank you, Sonia, for your call here today as well. Israel Wayne, our guest on Crosstalk today. Israel, I would like to deal with another criticism that's been leveled at homeschoolers, and it deals with the area of extracurricular activities like sports that young children will miss out, or children will not be, you know, challenged in that regard. How do you respond?
Well, there's two things. First of all, homeschoolers do have access to a lot of extracurricular activities. Here in Michigan, we have some cities that have homeschool football teams, homeschool basketball teams, homeschool volleyball teams. So in many places, especially in the inner city or in the cities, you have options to be able to be involved in sports. But the second thing is, you know, when a parent is looking at taking a ninth grader and putting them in high school to play sports, what you're really balancing there is the value that they get in sports over and against them really having more time to develop a substantive biblical worldview. We've seen so many students who were homeschooled through eighth grade, then put into public school, who graduate high school as atheists and agnostics. I just wonder, you know, is it worth it? Yeah, your child can throw a football or hit a baseball, but what does it profit us if we gain the whole world and lose our child's soul? And I'm not saying that happens in every case, but I've seen it happen in many cases, and I think we have to weigh, you know, what is most important to them. The Apostle Paul said physical exercise it profits a little, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And so when you have to compare those two, I think you go with godliness over physical exercise.
Your book has come out recently. What are you hoping will be accomplished from your book, Answers for Homeschooling?
Well, I want people who are thinking about homeschooling to be able to get solid answers to give them the courage and the confidence that this is something that they can do. The other thing I want, though, is people who are already homeschooling to be able to have the ability to defend their decision to homeschool to the critic in their life, because they are going to get pushback, sometimes even from their pastors and church leaders. And so they need to be able to have solid answers. And I've included not only biblical answers, but research and data and statistics and you know, the real empirical information that they can use. And so I think this book will help people defend their decision as well and have confidence in homeschooling.
One other aspect here in closing, and that's some parents are frankly glad to see their children go out the door each day, and some have said, you know, I can't stand to be around my children all day. I just need a break from them. They need a break from me. Respond to that issue.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we're at that place, really, like, we need to homeschool more than anybody. And the fact is, you know, we're all born inherently selfish. We love us some us, and we like everything to go smooth in our life. But God gave us these children to help us to be sanctified, you know, and he causes conflict, and he doesn't cause conflict, but he allows conflict to take place in our homes and in our families so that we learn repentance and so that we learn humility. We learn patience and long-suffering and learning to bear with one another. And when we just get rid of people and say, hey, let's just get rid of them and put them out of our life so we don't have to deal with them anymore, you know, yeah, you're eliminating conflict, but you're also almost completely reducing and eliminating the possibility of relationship. You know, a lady told me, I don't get along with my children. I think it'd be better to send them off to school. I said, you know, it'd be better for you to separate from your husband and live in two separate homes, too, if your entire goal is just to reduce conflict. But you also are reducing and eliminating relationship. And so what I say in those moments when you realize there's conflict between you, you don't run away from that relationship. You run into it. And this environment of you actually taking responsibility to disciple your own children gives you the perfect context for both you and the child to learn how to become more Christ-like.
Israel Wayne, our guest here today, and folks, a reminder, the book's available through our website, vcyamerica.org, or by calling our switchboard 800-729-9829. Israel, thank you for being with us today.
Hey, thank you, brother.
And folks, thanks for tuning in here to Crosstalk. It's a topic many are regularly making educational choices and decisions for their family. This book will certainly help you respond and know, have the answers for homeschooling. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.